I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, July 29th. There will be a preliminary election in Quincy on September 14th to narrow the field of candidates for the three open school committee seats down to six. Tuesday was the deadline for candidates to submit nomination papers, and seven are certified for school committee, including incumbents Emily Lebo, Doug Guttrow, and Courtney Pertios, Liz Speakman, Liberty Schaff, Ellen Patterson O'Donnell, and Tina Cahill will also be on the ballot. One will be eliminated in the preliminary. John McDonald did not return his nomination papers. There will also be races for the Wards 1, 2, and 5 City Council seats and the three at-large council seats. At the last minute, Norfolk County Treasurer Mike Bellotti pulled papers to run for Councilor-at-Large. He joins the three incumbents along with William Burke. John Rodefeld did not return his papers. Joe Murphy is challenging Ward 1 Councilor Dave McCarthy. Steve Pertios challenging Ward 2 Councilor Anthony Andronico. And Stephen Christo is challenging Ward 5 Councilor Chuck Phelan. Georgette Theophilus was five signatures short of the 50 needed to qualify to run for Ward 2. Now, those races will all be decided during the November 2nd final election. There is no mayoral race in Quincy this year. Quincy is getting almost $3 million in state grant money for a seawall improvement project. Governor Baker yesterday announced the grants totaling over $17 million to 28 cities and towns. Quincy will receive $2.98 million for a seawall improvement project at Manet Avenue and Babcock Street on Howes Neck. That area is prone to flooding during severe storms. The grants come from the state's Dam and Seawall Improvement Program. Braintree will receive $1 million for repairs to the Armstrong Dam and the Manatiquet River. Weymouth will receive funding for improvements to Fort Point Road. And Hull is getting money for repairs to the seawall along Nantasket Beach. The water at Brody or Baker Beach in Germantown is not safe for swimming right now. The health department says tests taken earlier this week indicate unsafe levels of bacteria in the water. Water at all other Quincy City beaches tested safe for swimming this week. After a Beacon Hill battle that lasted years and multiple legislative sessions, a loophole that allowed workers found to have abused people with developmental disabilities get hired again has been closed. And Father Paul Joyce is happy and relieved about that. Joyce and his wife and another couple who also had a son with developmental disabilities were the driving force behind the 2020 passage of Nikki's Law on Beacon Hill. That law sets up a registry of abusers set to go live Saturday that will give employers another layer of protection against hiring someone with a record of abuse to work with the vulnerable population. The abuse of his son, Dana, was recorded by a camera that his mother installed. Two aides were charged, but not before one applied for another job. In the case of Nikki Chan, a caretaker was charged with physical abuse, but a judge found him not guilty. While their cases ended up in court, it made the families aware of the many that never did. Each year, investigators find around 250 substantiated cases of abuse of adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities in Massachusetts. But the need for the registry comes because only a fraction of those substantiated abuse cases are prosecuted. And without a prosecution, an employer would not know that a potential employee had a prior record of abuse. Now, when the DPPC substantiates an abuse case, it will add the caregiver's name to the registry. Employers will have to check it before hiring somebody. The registry is a tool the families hope can be used to help protect other groups of vulnerable people in the future by adding other groups of workers who must be reported to it. Governor Baker said that he and members of his administration are still reviewing the latest mask guidance from the CDC but one state official said a decision could be made by the end of the week. On Tuesday, the CDC updated its guidance to recommend that all individuals, even those who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19, who are in parts of the country where the Delta variant is fueling infection surges, wear face coverings while indoors. The new guidance on masks in indoor public places applies to parts of the country with at least 50 new cases per 100,000 people in the past week. That includes 60% of U.S. counties. Here in Massachusetts, Barnstable County is the only area of high transmission, and Bristol, Dukes, Nantucket, and Suffolk counties are considered areas of substantial transmission. Baker said two key measures will come into play as he contemplates instituting a new mask advisory or mandate. That Massachusetts has the second lowest COVID-19 hospitalization rate in the country, as well as the second highest vaccination rate. Secretary of Health and Human Services Mary Lou Sutters said the Baker administration will announce a decision about mask guidance either later this week or by Monday at the latest. Two popular tourist destinations for Massachusetts travelers have announced they're reimposing a mask mandate indoors. Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, announcing face coverings would once again be required for all guests over the age of two while indoors and in Disney buses, monorail, and Disney Skyliner, regardless of vaccination status. The mandate includes inside all attractions, but face coverings remain optional in outdoor common areas. And Nevada is reimposing a mask mandate in places where COVID is surging, including Las Vegas, Reno, Carson City, and other locations. The mandate means masks will be mandatory for all employees, patrons, and guests inside all of Las Vegas casinos beginning Friday, regardless of a person's vaccination status. The number of positive cases associated with the COVID-19 cluster in Provincetown that have been reported to the State Health Department has grown to 833 of those cases. 501 are Massachusetts residents and 210 live in Provincetown. The remainder of individuals who tested positive live in other states. Seven hospitalizations have been reported to date associated with the cluster, five in Massachusetts, two out of state. No deaths have been reported. The case number is cumulative since July 1st and does not represent the number of people with active cases of COVID-19. The town manager, Alex Morse, said 765 cases had been identified as part of the Provincetown cluster earlier this week. The town unanimously voted to reinstitute an indoor mask mandate, effective immediately. A Boston police officer is the victim of a stabbing that happened in Mattapan last night. The Boston Police Department confirming the officer was stabbed in the arm in the area of 1234 Blue Hill Avenue and suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The officer was stabbed with a steak knife and taken to Kearney Hospital in Dorchester for stitches. A juvenile is in custody in connection with that stabbing. Two Boston hospitals are among the best in the nation, according to new rankings by U.S. News & World Report. Mass General came in fifth on the 2021-2022 Best Hospital Honor Roll. In areas of specialties, Mass General finished second in diabetes and endocrinology, and ear, nose, and throat, and third in psychiatry. Brigham and Women's is ranked 14th in the new survey. It's ranked fourth in cancer treatment through its association with the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Last year, Mass General was sixth overall, and Brigham and Women's was 12th. The Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, was the top-ranked hospital in the country for the sixth year in a row. New flights from seaplane operator Tailwind Air will launch next week from Boston Harbor, bound for the East River and Manhattan, connecting the core of those two East Coast cities. A dedicated 7-minute water taxi will take passengers to or from the South Boston waterfront to the seaplane docked in Boston Harbor. plane, which seats a maximum of 9 passengers, will then depart on an approximately 75-minute flight to Manhattan's New York Skyport, located at East 23rd Street along the East River. The first flights take off on August 3rd. The airline plans to operate 4 flights weekdays between the two cities. Tickets can be purchased on the website, by phone, and through local and online travel agencies via a code share partnership with Southern Airways Express. Ticket prices start at $395. Check of business news this morning. Stocks are mixed. The Dow is down 127. The NASDAQ rose 102. And the S&P fell just a fraction. Asian stocks were higher. The euro was advancing. The dollar fell. Oil up to $73 a barrel. In sports, Red Sox and Blue Jays split day-night doubleheader yesterday, with Toronto taking Game 1, 4-1. Boston beat the Jays last night, 4-1, in Game 2. The series will conclude tonight at 7:10 at Fenway Park. The National Weather Service forecast today: some morning sunshine, maybe an afternoon shower, high 77. For tonight, could be some very severe thunderstorms rolling through late tonight with gusty winds and heavy downpours. Lows tonight in the mid-50s. Tomorrow will start out damp with a shower, then turn partly cloudy, high of 82. Saturday, mostly sunny at a high 78 degrees. Maybe a thunderstorm Sunday afternoon with a high 79. The boater waves a couple of feet, southwesterly winds, 5 to 10 knots, and a high tide at 4:22 p.m. Sunrise at 5:33, set at 8:06. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Thursday, July 29th.